Thank you for the opportunity to share and actually to follow up on some amazing reports that I'll be referring back to in a lot of what I have to say. But I actually want to start with a side question. How many of you have walked behind the waterfall since you've been here? I'll leave that question with you and encourage you to figure out what that question means. Okay? Nothing to disclose. The objectives of what I want to share are at the top, but underneath it are the objectives that I use for a program planning course that I teach that I'm going to be telling you about. And I grandfathered in to a wonderful setting and a structure for teaching this class when I started teaching it in 2007. Yale had a long history of a community project that was required for everyone, but then there were so many criticisms of quality control, unevenness of preceptors, unevenness of what the students were able to perform on behalf of the community organizations, we decided to put behind it a really strong in-class component to strengthen what the students are able to do for the organizations that they're working with. And so that's my role, is actually to work with student groups as they engage in service learning projects for community organizations. My primary objectives are really that the students change how they see themselves through walking through these processes and on-the-job learning, basically. I want them to see themselves as leaders, and I want them to see themselves as lifelong learners. I also have a really strong support network of teaching assistants, all of who have taken the class before, and I have some mentoring objectives. They're really there to learn how to partner with and guide groups that are engaged in this kind of practice learning. I'm going to use an opera metaphor because I needed something that would speak to the complexity of what we try and do in a semester. And so I want to just give you a flavor of the breadth of the kinds of projects that we take on. We partner with hospitals, we partner with community health clinics, we partner with AIDS service organizations, we partner with Planned Parenthood, you know, whoever we can find that wants to work with us, where we can find a suitable project. And that's a key piece, is that we do work really hard to make sure that the projects that come into our program are suitable and achievable to maintain the quality of what the experience for both the organizations and the students. Lots of players, and the players are all critical. I have a lead teaching assistant that works with me in the semester that the class is not taught, that works with me to put all of the pieces together in the fall, and actually talk about that, a little bit more about that preparation stage later. We review each of the proposals. We have faculty reviewers, and I sort of use those to like hook the faculty in. I get them to review the proposal. It's just 4 pages. It's not much at all, but they've sort of figured out now that if they review it and the students choose it, that I'm probably going to come back to them and say, hey, would you mind being the advisor in the spring? And basically they're acting as an expert consultant. I tell the students that these are, you know, really high-priced consultants, and they're going to want to meet with them once or twice in the semester, use them well. But that role of those experts in walking students through is also very helpful. Student reviewers who have taken the class in the past. And then for each of the groups, once we select the groups that are going to run, for each of the groups, we have 2 to 6 students. We have a preceptor from the community organization, teaching assistant, faculty advisor. We also have support from the school in terms of a budget for each project of about $500. That covers some travel. It covers, you know, focus groups. It can cover incentives. It can, you know, there's the organization, the student groups use it however they see fit. And then each of the projects also goes through institutional review. And we work really hard to make sure that they're exempt, but we do make sure that they do go through the process, and that gives the students the experience of walking through that process also. Okay, 111 days. It's a little bit of cheating because that overture happens in the fall semester. But once the students get on the ground, it's really 111 days. The first act is just, it's a crash course. It's walking the student groups through a lit review, logic model, program theory, work plans, putting all of their HIC application, putting all of those pieces together. That's a very intense class. It's the first month of the semester. It's very late. It's time intensive. We actually have 2 3-to-5-hour workshop sessions because I can't get this done in 2 hours a week. And so the students come for those extra sessions, and they're really working groups where we talk about a logic model, we talk through some examples, and then they work on theirs. And then it's very much a workshop base in that first act. The second act, they're on the ground, they're running, and at the same time, there are issues that they need to know might show up, sort of lenses that I want them to be sure are there, at least awareness of, should they run into problems, because they probably will. They need to know power issues, leadership issues, a little bit about systems thinking, just to understand that those are lenses that may shape problems they run into, both in their project and in the future. And then that third act is really issues in community health research and practice, things that they're not getting anyplace else. And these are really just one-off sessions where I think they need an exposure, CBPR, capacity building issues, evidence, use of evidence for public health decisions. And this is all happening while they're completing their projects. Just often these are guest lectures, but again, it's things that they need to be a part of and to be aware of. The finale, presentations, dissemination to participants, and then also something that we do, we call field action reports, and I'll show you an example later. When I started working with this class, I can't stand behind a 30-page final report, but I can stand behind a 3-page field action report. And so what we've done is we've made the commitment that I will stand behind the field action reports, and so I finalize those. The students prepare a long report, covers everything they did, but then and they draft their field action reports, but after they finish the class, and those reports do go to the organizations, but in terms of distilling what we are clear they can say, that's in the field action reports. And those are actually made available on the web after the organizations review them to be able to make those public. The fall semester, just a little bit of background on that, we start recruiting proposals in the summer. And then the lead TA comes on in September, and we go through the review process. There's an iterative process of going back to the organizations and saying, okay, I really want a mix of qualitative and quantitative. I'd really, you know, your project would be really well served if you could come up with some good data that the students could analyze. One of the projects, the projects that are in my head right now are the proposals that we're reviewing and that we're preparing to disseminate next week to the students. One of the ones that we're looking at is Planned Parenthood wants to say, do we have typical patients? You know, as we need to work on our marketing, are there typical patient use patterns? And so we're looking at getting a group of students to do a factor analysis using their data. But simultaneously, our students really like the opportunity to get some qualitative work, and so we try and put both pieces into each project. Another project we're working on right now is a combination of looking at electronic medical records and health disparities in health outcomes, and simultaneously assessing cultural competency of the staff of a community health organization. Those are some of the proposals that are floating right now and will remain to see how the students choose them. So next week, we will disseminate these proposals. We'll do some information sessions. Students have a week to send us their top 3 choices. We match them trying to optimize group mix, which is really important, the level of skills. We do a SurveyMonkey tool to assess, to get some background on the students, to make the groups fit, and also to try and maximize what they're interested in, while also spreading it across all of the proposals that we have. We notify them of what their options are, and then we ask them to commit in December, which is before they have to register, and we're clear that this is not a part of the shopping. You know, they don't get to, they're making a commitment because we make a commitment to community organizations based on their commitment to the class. Complex chords and harmonies. I mean, this is, as all of the previous speakers have spoken to, the challenges of weaving these pieces together can't be understated. Part of what I think enables us to do it is the level of support that we have. I got to go back to some of the teaching assistants in preparing this and to sort of say, so now that you're out in the job, you know, in the real world, how do you look back at this? And sort of the key piece was, this was where they got to integrate their public health training. This was where they got to put the pieces of the coursework together in an applied setting that was relatively safe. The risk, you know, the risk of doing it was less because they had people, they had us walking them through the process. So I have 1 minute left. So I'm going to just show you they do logic models. It looks like a logic model. And some of them have never seen one before. They do program theories. It looks like a program theory. And it's just the process of walking it through, of having them get an experience. This is what our field action reports look like. I have two different examples. You know, they're really 2 to 3 pages maximum. And they're visually appealing, and they're things that the organizations can then share really easily. And that's been a key piece, is that the preceptor can then pass the information to someone else and have it conveyed really clearly and succinctly. And that's been a key piece for us in their being able to share what we do. They don't look alike, but it's really sticks to that same format of putting it all down in about 3 pages. In conclusion, as I said before, really some significant supports, key structures, in-class skill building, but walking them through with a very real project where they know that people care. It's another piece of what we, of our criteria, is that we won't accept a project if the organization doesn't have the capacity to act on it. We don't want people asking us to look at something that they don't have any, they're not the organization to do. And so we're very careful in selecting what we do. And it gives both the high-quality student work products, applied student experiences, positive organizational experiences, and then improved public health outcomes for our organizational partners. Acknowledgements. I've worked with such an amazing group of teaching assistants over the last 5 years. And the bottom one, Margaret, is the lead TA for this next year, and the rest of her peers haven't been hired yet because we don't know how many projects we'll have. And that's what determines how many TAs there are. But they've been a gift, and without them, it wouldn't have been possible. The commitment of the preceptors, and then the hard work and perseverance of the students.